From director Sean McNamara comes Soul on Fire, based on a true story.
They said you had no chance, but here you are.
Starring Joel Courtney, John Corbett, Stephanie Shostak, Macy McLean, with Devon Franklin and William H. Macy.
If you focus exactly on loving the life that you're living right now, and not the life that you think you could have had or should have had, that's the whole deal right there.
Soul on Fire. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Now playing. For tickets, go to soulonfiremovie.com. Soul on Fire.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. And hello, Americans. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us today. And wow, do we have a very busy show for you. A lot going on here in the studio and all across the country. A couple of big stories. President Trump, by the way, is going to be making an announcement from the Oval Office. We will take you there live when that happens. Also, tonight in Virginia, we are watching the big debate for the attorney general position. This will be the first time that Jay Jones has appeared before the cameras in a debate setting since he said he wanted to put two bullets into the head of his Republican opponent. Yeah, sounds like a really nice guy, that fella. So anyway, we'll be monitoring that, and we'll be checking in with our good friend Josh Jones, our chief Republican strategist, in just a little while. And, of course, we're also going to be taking your telephone calls today. I want you to write down our number, 901-260-5926. Again, our telephone number is 901-260-5926. So, look, there's a lot happening when it comes to crime in America. President Trump holding a huge press conference last night, and the president announcing that crime is not only is it off the charts, but the federal involvement, law enforcement, boots on the ground, is having a tremendous impact in what's happening in the country. As a matter of fact, more than 22,000 criminals have been arrested, and hundreds of missing children have been located. As a matter of fact, just in Memphis, Tennessee, my hometown and where we broadcast our national show from, the president yesterday announcing that over 45 children who had been missing have now been recovered. And that is something that we should all be able to celebrate. Now, yesterday on this program, I told you the story of a precious lady, a good citizen of Memphis, who posted some things on the TikTok. And her story went viral. And I think everybody in the nation is talking about her story now. That wasn't her intent. But you know how it is on social media. Somebody writes something, somebody posts something, and the next thing you know, everybody on the whole planet knows all about it. And I told you her story, but I thought it would really be important for her to share that story with us in person. And so we had some conversations yesterday, and I'm so excited to welcome into our studio two great American patriots, Dr. Talisa Franklin and Delicia Bollinger. Who published and posted that really incredible TikTok video. Ladies, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ty, for having us.
Yeah, and I have to tell you, I completely underdressed for my own show today. So this is not starting off on a good foot for me. Wow, first of all, thank you. And what I find fascinating about what the conversation we're about to have, honest to goodness, I don't know your politics, because that's not important. And I think that's the big problem here, is that they've tried to politicize the issue of crime, and it affects everybody. And Delicia, before we get to your story, you know, Dr. Franklin, I mean, you are probably one of the most positive people that I've ever met. And I follow you. We're Facebook friends.
Yes.
And you're always posting such positive stuff. But it really has been a tough It's been tough for the citizens of Memphis lately.
Absolutely, Todd. And again, thank you for having me. You know, I always tell people that you can look at it as the glass half full or half empty. But if you're thirsty, whatever's in there, it'll quench your thirst.
But they're
right?
carjacking the glass. I mean, they're taking everything these days.
Well, you know what? Listen, we just got to keep moving. And you know one thing, Todd, reason why I'm so positive, many people say, why? I say, if you came from where I come from, you have no choice but to be positive and look at it. But I also understand. And in order for us to move Memphis forward, we got to have a voice that's wanting to say, will you listen to me, whether we agree or disagree politically, socially, or whatever. But can we agree to disagree that we all want to see a better Memphis, right?
1,000%. And we're seeing that and hearing that message in places like Portland, Oregon, and Seattle and Chicago on the south side. And Delicia, that brings us to your story. And first of all, if you could just give us a little bit of your background. Where, what part of the city do you guys live in?
So I live in the Whitehaven area. I'm less than 5 minutes away from the DeSoto County line, state line. I'm in between two parts. So you have Westwood and then you have Whitehaven, and I'm right there in the middle.
So this is an area that is near and dear to me because our family, you know, when we came to Memphis, you know, back in the 1920s, 1930s, our family settled in Whitehaven. You know, Dad went to Whitehaven High School. And so when I saw the Tigers there, you know, I'm like, I can relate to you, Delicia. But it is not the same place anymore. And you describe to us, before the National Guard and the law enforcement surge happened in Memphis, what was it like living in your neighborhood?
Absolutely. So I've always been a Whitehaven resident. And actually, I was in the Whitehaven residence when the neighborhoods were actually white. We were there when the homes were being built. We left South Memphis to come to Whitehaven, and Whitehaven at that time for us was basically Beverly Hills. So we had a chance to see how Whitehaven was. And it's completely changed from the Whitehaven that I knew. You know, prior to the National Guard, I couldn't go out of my home because I was afraid to because of gunshots. It became a normalcy for me and my family to hear gunshots. The street that I actually live on is pretty much notorious for a lot of criminal activity. And if it's not the kids shooting up things, my house is being burglarized. My neighbors' homes are being burglarized. Things that are around the neighborhood, you have burglaries, you have shootings. The officer, Joseph McKinney, was just, you know, killed back here in 2024. That happened less than a block away from my home. So when you're talking about afraid to sleep at night because you're thinking that more things are going to take place as you're sleeping, it's scary times.
And let's understand, we're not talking about the hood here. We're talking about a middle-class community here.
Absolutely.
These are beautiful homes. These are very hardworking neighbors, and the neighborhoods in the Memphis area have just been terrorized.
Absolutely. Like my neighbors, these are retired teachers, community, law enforcement. These aren't just any kind of people. These are people that are actually for the community. So though when you're talking about Whitehaven as a neighborhood in general, these are actually beautiful neighborhoods. I live in a wonderful community, but unfortunately my community has some real terrible things going on.
So the National Guard comes in, and were you initially supportive of it?
You know, I was definitely open to it. You know, I'm the type to want to see results first before I'm actually able to, you know, just make any judgment. But I was definitely open to it, considering, again, all of the crime that was taking place. So I was very open to it.
So City Hall, they're saying there is no crime problem. It's a perception problem. We've been hearing this over and over again. And that goes beyond just the current administration. So was that your experience? Was it just a perception?
Absolutely not. I live in these communities. I've experienced things that I shouldn't have. And seeing things, my kids have seen things that they shouldn't have in these communities. I know for a fact that it's not perception because this is my reality every day. So I don't know where City Hall is getting that information from.
So the National Guard comes in, and you're on TikTok, and I have to tell you, I don't know, I've tried it, and I don't know, is it my age? I can't figure it out, but But you figured it out because you post these great videos and you decided to go on TikTok and say, hey, you know, here's what's happened. And what was your observation after, you know, the federal troops came in and the law enforcement came in?
You know, that video on TikTok was merely a moment of me thanking God out loud because I was waiting to actually take care of something. And I had a moment to reflect on my porch. And I just sat there because I'm looking around. There's kids playing basketball. There's people walking their kids up and down the street. This was a moment, a pure moment in true reflection that I just had to really thank God out loud for. And so I took that moment to record that video. I was not prepared for it to snowball the way that it has, but that was my truth. And I stand in that truth because I am grateful. I'm just to be able to sit out on my porch for the first time in 5 years of me being a homeowner. It was, and I'm sorry, I'm kind of getting emotional about it.
It was, it's what it was supposed to be, really, right?
I, you know, I am the ultimate American citizen. I went from being pregnant and homeless, being in the streets of Memphis, pregnant and homeless, to having a piece of the American dream. It wasn't my intention to move into a neighborhood that people probably may deem as unlivable. That wasn't the intention, you know, when I moved. I wanted my piece of the American dream. I wanted to give my kids an opportunity to have something that I didn't have. But to be afraid to come out on my porch is, it's disheartening. So for me to be able to come out and truly have that moment of gratitude, a moment of thanks, I'm grateful.
I noticed the media coverage, and there's a narrative. Mm-hmm. And if you watch the national coverage, they say, oh, this is an occupation. People are living in fear. You know, the reality is we've all been living in fear for a very long time of the gangbangers and the criminals. And the idea, I was talking to somebody, I was giving a speech out in Iowa, mm-hmm. and I said, you know, we literally had these conversations. Would you rather be carjacked by a 9 or a 10-year-old or somebody who's much older, like in their 20s? And I've always said, I would rather have the 20-year-old because at least they have some semblance of value of life. I think those little kids, you know, they're not being raised right, and they're not being raised with values. And the idea that we have to have these sort of regular weird conversations in Memphis, that's just our reality, and it should not be that way. And I think people are finally waking up now and realizing, wow, we really didn't have to live like this.
The real occupation are the gangsters. The real occupation is the criminals. It's not the National Guard. They're merely, you have to realize, people have to realize the order. People have to realize how laws and things are. If Memphis handled their business, the National Guard wouldn't be here. And the way that the Democrats and all of these politicians are going after these Republicans and going after Trump, like this is something that he just wanted to do. People have to realize things have to take place in order for them to come here. And Memphis has been out of control. It's been out of control.
Let me ask you what happened after that. So your video comes out. Mm-hmm. You were getting a lot of blowback from mm-hmm. folks, mm-hmm. but also your employer. What happened there?
So a little people may not know that I am a local journalist here for formerly for the Tri-State Defender. When my videos again blew up, they eventually caught wind of what was happening. And from there, I was presented with an ultimatum because I started to receive opportunities from media outlets such as Fox News, national Fox News, by the way, in which I was advised by the editor of the Tri-State Defender, because she, and these were the exact words that came out of her mouth, you know, they're so pro-Trump. If you do this interview, you would no longer work for the Tri-State Defender anymore.
All right. I want you to hold that right there because we're going to have to take a quick break, and I want to be able to finish the conversation. We're going to tell you what happened after that conversation. We're honored to have with us in studio Dr. Talisa Franklin, and we're going to talk to Dr. Franklin more in just a moment, and Delicia Bollinger, and we're going to be taking your calls as well. I think, you know, it would be good for Delicia, and our phone lines lit up yesterday with people so supportive of you and encouraging of you, and you can do that by giving us a call at 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Have to take a quick break here, folks. We'll be right back. Dinesh D'Souza has done it again. His new eye-opening movie, The Dragon's Prophecy, illuminates a 3,000-year-old mystery about Israel, the dark resurrection, and the end of days. The nation of Israel is a resurrected nation, but what if there was going to be a resurrection of another people, an enemy of Israel? After the horrific attack on October 7th, The Dragon's Prophecy offers new understanding on Israel, radical Islam, anti-Semitism, and biblical prophecy. Could it be that the fate of the world, of all humanity itself, is tied to what we're seeing in the Middle East? Well, based on the number one international bestseller by Jonathan Cahn, The Dragon's Prophecy reveals how another realm could be transforming our world as we speak. Don't miss Dinesh D'Souza's new movie, The Dragon's Prophecy. Watch it now or buy the DVD at salemnow.com. Salemnow.com. All right, welcome back. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Honored to have with us in studio Dr. Talisa Franklin and Delicia Bollinger. And by the way, Delicia, Dawn writing in on our Facebook live stream. God bless you, Delicia. I'm happy you're able to sit on your porch in such beautiful peace. So I think a lot of people around this around the nation feel the exact same way.
It's been super supportive. It's been a lot of support, but then there's been a lot of backlash.
Well, let's talk about the backlash. So you got a message from your employer, mm-hmm. the Tri-State Defender, mm-hmm. And the ultimatum was what?
The ultimatum was go on Fox News, and that's it, or you're getting fired.
And so how did all of that end up?
I'm no longer employed by the Tri-State Defender.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm no longer there. They took all of my assignments, removed me from all of the Facebook platforms or the platforms, and that's it. They send me on my way.
You know, what I find interesting, and I have no problem with journalists having an opinion. I just want people to be honest about it, you know, and the journalists over there, for the most part, lean left, and that's fine, you know, but the reality is for somebody to come out and say something that they may necessarily, you know, they might disagree with, and then they shut you down. I mean, that's journalism in America right now.
The irony of it all is this is a black news outlet. So it hurts even more because this is being done by my own people. You know, I'm a well-rounded journalist. I don't take sides. I want to be able to get the experiences of all, left, right, up, down. I'm not a part of any of those things. I'm just a well-rounded American citizen. And I no longer fit their black narrative. I don't fit their narrative anymore. And it's disheartening.
Dr. Franklin, mm-hmm. we were talking at the break. You actually said you had to shut down your business at a location because of the crime.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I had been a florist all my life, and one point on Summer Avenue, I got broke in, I think within like 30 times within a cycle of a year.
How many times?
30. And many people said, Talisa, you're crazy. And I go back and I look at some of the news articles and the videos, and I was like, okay, it got to get better. And then I would have those conversations. I remember going to the police precinct, talking to the colonel, and says, Colonel, I'm not here for me. I'm here for the mom and pop business that if they keep breaking in, they can't handle it. Thank God I have other things that's going on in my life. I said, but for that mom and pop that only wanted to have a business, and when these criminals keep coming in, breaking in their business, what does that do, right? And so that's why I believe being this season, Todd, is a bridge, because I'm not afraid to say the things that need to be said on both sides, right? I always tell people, we can agree to disagree, but we all can agree we want a better Memphis, right? We want to move Memphis forward if we really want to move it. So we have to have those hard conversations. And, you know, I'm sure with D that, you know, that's a hard conversation or a hard statement, but sometimes we got to have those comments and
Ladies,
those statements.
Can you stick around for a few more minutes?
Absolutely.
All right, we've got to take a break here, folks, and we'll open up the phone lines as well. If you want to show these ladies your support for what they're doing and the stand they're taking. And sometimes taking a stand comes with a price, as we know. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is The Todd Stern Show. I've got something very exciting for you, the perfect way to celebrate America's 250th birthday next July 4th. It's called Young Washington, a brand new film from Angel Studios and the Wonder Project. Now, this is not the George Washington on the dollar bill. No, this is the untold story of the young man. At just 20 years old, George Washington faced failure, near-death experiences, and trials that forged the courage and character that would one day win America's independence. Now, this is not a watered-down history lesson. Young Washington is bold, it's authentic, and it's rooted in truth, showing the values and moral backbone that we need to be reminded of today. Directed by John Irwin, starring Andy Serkis, Ben Kingsley, and Kelsey Grammer, this is a big, cinematic, high-quality film that you're going to be proud to watch with your entire family. But here's the deal. Early support determines how many theaters show this film. So when you join the Angel Guild, you help secure more screens. You lock in two free tickets, gain access to Angel's full streaming library, and get exclusive behind-the-scenes updates from the cast and director. So let's make Young Washington the number one movie in America this Independence Day. Go to angel.com/Todd and join today.
My name is Braylon, and I live here in Memphis. I've been noticing not just a slight change, more of a detrimental change in how peaceful Memphis is ever since the National Guard came. There was a lot of things I couldn't do before the National Guard came because I had to worry a lot about guns and stuff. I couldn't play because I was worried that somebody might pull out a gun or something, but now I could do that, and I just wanted to thank the President of the United States for bringing the National Guard.
Wow, what a great young man. And Delicia, I know you're tearing up over there because that's your son.
That's my baby.
How old is he?
He's 11 years old.
Wow. Wow.
It's my baby. I talk to my kids. They're very much aware. Very much aware. I let them know what's going on. I want them to grow up to be children, to make their own decisions. But I want them to be aware of what's going on. And they see it. They live it just as much as I do.
So you mentioned that you had gotten a lot of blowback from, you know, from the black community. There mm-hmm. are people at the same time, though, when you go to, they call it black Twitter. I didn't know that was a thing, but y'all's Twitter is cooler than what is it, white Twitter. I don't know. We're just kind of like,
no, I just know Twitter because I barely can use it. Okay. I can't do nothing but Facebook and Instagram.
But it's fascinating because when you go and look at the videos, just about everybody feels the same way you do. If you're mm-hmm. living here and you're experiencing it, you're like, thank God the National Guard is here.
Yes, yes. I still very much stand on it. I'm thankful. You know, just being able to drive, you know, down a street and not have these cars with these paper tags and everything just flying behind me, running me off of the road. It's a scary feeling, but now I feel more comfortable because people are aware. And people are abiding by the laws now. I'm very happy.
The reality is, ladies, that Memphis has been controlled by Democrats for generations. Absolutely. I mean, everybody mm-hmm. is in charge is a Democrat. Mm-hmm. And at some point you wonder, okay, I understand you have political parties, but why not just give the other side a chance, you know, and see it can't get any worse. How do we get people to really rethink the way they vote on Election Day and the way they approach those issues?
I'll take that one because anybody know that I've been a lifelong Democrat, right? But however, I am a realist that I want to hear both sides. And I think sometimes we have to get to the point now of making sure that people understand whether you're a Democrat or Republican, do we have the same core values? Do we want to see a better moving forward Memphis? And a lot of times we get so engulfed in saying that if it's all about the R, about the D, but can it just be about the people? How do we move our people? And I think in Memphis, yes, right now, Democrats are fully in control, right? but there is some backline before Demer, all through, it's just didn't happen in this session of people that's in charge, right? We got some challenges, and I even tell the Democrats, especially with my new movie, Memphis Forward, that we got to have conversations with both sides. We can't walk in the room and say, I'm not going to talk to you because you're a Republican. That's not right. We can't move Memphis like that. Mm-hmm. I need to talk to you because you are a Republican. You're going to talk to me, and we both going to have the same values that we want to see something going better in what we represent.
And let me add on to that. You know, you have a lot of people out here, too, especially within my communities. Let's just be honest. That's uneducated. I was one of those uneducated voters. I would just vote just off of the strength because Democrats were black and I felt like they were just for the brother man, for the people. And you have a lot of people that go out to the polls for that. I was just talking to my husband last night about our voting experience. There's been times where we would go and hit the polls and we would look and see who are on these ballots and absolutely have no clue what is going on. And we would talk to the people that's running the polls. And I remember distinctly this lady told me, well, you know, you can just vote D. You can do it all across the board, down the board. And not knowing what these people's stances are or anything. So a lot of these times, too, you have these people that are interested in voting but aren't educated and don't know what they're actually getting into. And people just need to become more aware of who they're voting for.
It's going to take a long time to fix what is broken here. And I think another big component of this, and we talk a lot about family and the importance of church mm-hmm. and family on this program. And mm-hmm. I believe that's why God has blessed our country is because we're a nation that's under God. It's in our founding documents. But when you look at the breakdown of the American family, and I think that's really when the government comes in and says, you know what, we know better than mom and dad. No, actually you don't. And the government makes it a lot worse. And I'm wondering, how do we fix that? And Dr. Franklin, I'll toss that question to you.
Absolutely.
How do we fix that big problem?
Well, you know, the church, I'm a preacher, and I preach all the time, right? And one thing I say, can we just preach love? Can we show love? And a lot of times we don't show love. And a lot of our families are broken. We have, especially in the black community, I can't mm-hmm. trust for anybody else, mm-hmm. but the black community is broken. So we got to deal those poverty issues. We got to deal with mental health issues. There is a lot of root cause of the issues that we're dealing with right now in the family. And a lot of times they come to the church, and you all may or may not believe, but on Sunday is the most segregated day there is, because you have black people go to black church and the white people go to white church. But how can we now say, how do we work together? How do we love God? Because God is a God of love, and making sure that what we're doing is out of love, because we'll then fix the family. Because back in the day, when families had challenges, there was the village. We don't forget about the village now, because now we only want a village that look like us. We say it in my community, all skin folk ain't kin folk, right? Mm-hmm. Just because you might, there was a particular lady by the name of Miss Brooks. She was white. She was the one woman that helped change my life in high school. I had black teachers. And I was in a broken place growing up. But this one woman, Susan Brooks, her and Dr. Lloyd Brooks, they loved on me when I didn't have nothing in the hood. They would drive me and show me something differently. That's what family is about, because they showed me love. And a lot of things is happening now that we want to be black, 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 white, white. But can we say that God is God is love, and how we go love each other together?
I'm ready to take up an offering right now.
Just... I'm sorry.
Amen to that.
Or have
all lives matter, man. Yes. Yes. All lives matter.
Exactly.
Yes. All lives matter. I coexist with me and my family, we coexist with everyone. I love white people. I love Hispanics. I love everybody from every demographic. To be quite honest with you, you know, I've never within my life, honestly, had a racist moment with any white person. I've had more racist experiences with blacks. More race type situations with blacks. And I could be a racist from that, but that's not the case. All lives matter. We coexist with everyone. It's harmony. We all need each other.
Well, we do. And that's one of the things we try to do, you know, on this radio program nationally. We have just a massive audience of all different, you know, kinds of folks coming from all different kinds of backgrounds. But ultimately, we are Americans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we have to stand together. And if not, if we allow them to divide us, mm-hmm. the country will fail. And I think that really is the lesson coming out of Memphis for the rest of the nation. If we can fix what is broken here, then it is possible to accomplish that in any other American city. And ladies, I just appreciate the great work y'all are doing. And Delicia, I know you've got a lot of question marks now.
Yes.
You know, what is next, and what does that look like for you?
You know, it's, you know, life has definitely changed,
yeah.
You know, since these videos, and I've been getting an outpouring, like just unwavering support. You know, I'm just taking everything day by day. You know, I definitely want to get back into the field and do my, you know, my journalist thing. So if you guys are out there listening and you need an amazing, incredible journalist, I am a wonderful journalist. But you know, I want to be able to continue to be out there for the people and
wonderful.
Be a message.
And Dr. Franklin,
yes.
Last word.
Love God, love his people. And also follow me on social media outlets, Talisa Franklin.
Oh, yeah. You got to follow. Yeah, absolutely.
For positivity,
right.
Baby. It's all about the people.
I love that. Ladies, rarely do we have in-studio guests, so we're gonna have to bring you all back.
Please do.
So this has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Delicia Ballinger and Dr. Talisa Franklin. Ladies, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you. God bless you. God bless America.
All right, we've got to take a break. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. MyPillow is excited to announce they're having their biggest 3-in-1 sale ever with a limited edition product, a back-in-stock special, and a closeout deal you won't find anywhere else. MyPillow bed sheets, only $29.88, any color, any style, any size, even kings. Regularly priced at $119.98, and now only $29.88. Once they're gone for good. My towels, finally, back in stock, but not for long. Get a 6-piece My Towel set, normally priced at $69.98, now only $39.98. And for the first and only time, get their limited edition premium MyPillows made with Giza cotton. Queen $17.98, Kings only $19.98. Also for a limited time, when your order is over $100, you'll receive free shipping plus $100 in free digital gifts. So go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. Use your promo code for the best offers ever. Quantities are extremely limited, so order now. That's promo code STARNS. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. That was a little different way to start the show today. But again, and we are a national show, but what's happening here is an illustration of what can happen in every other major American city and every small town in America. But we have to stop letting people divide us. And if we can do that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to survive all of this, and we're going to survive the professional race baiters and agitators. But we have got to take a stand, and to see the great work that that Delicia is doing, and Dr. Franklin, what she's doing, that really blesses my heart. And we're going to make sure that Delicia gets connected with the White House, and we're going to let President Trump know that he's got a lot of support in the Memphis area. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Well, we're following some other big stories of the day, and we just want to share some breaking news with you. But the Senate Democrats have once again blocked, this is just moments ago, they blocked a Republican plan to end the shutdown, and lawmakers are now leaving town, which means the government will remain shut down. Now, over the weekend, there are going to be massive street protests in major American cities, including our nation's capital, the No Kings protest. These are all professional agitators, all right? We are already getting videos, and people are posting these videos of giant trucks dropping off signs and other materials in advance of these No King protests. And the Senate Democrats are hell-bent on keeping the government shut down at least through these protests. But 10 times now, the Republicans have tried to reopen the government, and the Democrats have said no. The Democrats have made this decision. Unless the American taxpayers fund health care for illegals, they will not reopen the government. Now, at this point, President Trump has no other choice but to start firing even more government workers. I think, what, over 4,000 workers have already been fired. Keep in mind there are, what, 3 million federal workers? So this is a drop in the bucket, but nobody wants to lose their job. Regardless, Trump is going to have to do something here. And that means we're going to have to start eliminating jobs. And it's all on the Democrats. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question is, do you want the Republicans to stand their ground? I have just been so impressed that these Republicans have done so. I mean, normally, old school, you would have had the Republicans wave the surrender flag. Oh, as a matter of fact, do we have this audio speaker? Mike Johnson got really upset. I mean, really upset. Let's take a listen.
Together and build that consensus is not possible until we get the government operating again and we stop holding... We stop holding the American people hostage for these ridiculous political games. People see what's going on here. We should not have Border Patrol agents not paid right now because Chuck Schumer wants to play political games to cover his tail. I don't know how much more simply to say that, and every single one of you know that's exactly what's going on. I don't like being mad, Mike. I want to be happy, Mike. I want to be the happy warrior, but I am so upset about this. God bless America. We're done. Thanks.
Dadgummit, this is Mad Mike. I'm just mad. I'm mad. I'm fighting mad. My blood pressure's rising. Can you see my face getting red? I'm ready to say something really naughty. Dadgummit. See, I said you made me cuss. Now I'm just mad dirty mouth Mike. I'm potty mouth Mike. You Democrats, shame on you. Wow. Kind of calm down, Mike. Don't want to burst a blood vessel. Jeez. He said he doesn't like being mad, Mike. I want to be happy, Mike. I want to be happy and drink iced tea and sit in my rocking chair and just watch the little daffodils bloom and watch little birds, the bluebird, the little bluebird of happiness. And maybe it could drop some of that happiness on Chuck Schumer's head. Geez-a-loo. There you go. Mad Mike, ladies and gentlemen. So all that to say, God love him. But Mike Johnson standing his ground. I don't think he's budging. And I like this. And I would probably rather have somebody a bit more, I don't know, ferocious than a furry, lovable little kitten. But by golly, the kitten has teeth and claws. So good for you, Speaker Johnson. And as well as Majority Leader Thune. Everybody forgets about that guy, but no, he's a thing and he's there. So we'll keep you updated on all of this, but right now, government will remain shut down. And the problem is they're going to be running out of money. Trump did find some money to pay the troops this month, but that money is going to be running out. And so we're going to have big trouble here. Another big issue, air traffic controllers, TSA agents, Border Patrol officers, none of those folks are getting any sort of a paycheck. And I would not be surprised if we start seeing people calling in sick and not showing up for work because they're not getting paid. And it's tough. And I want you to think about this. Most of the people working in our nation's capital, for example, are young people, folks under the age of, say, 30 years old and overwhelmed, especially up on Capitol Hill. None of those people are getting a paycheck. And those are kids that don't have two nickels to rub together. But they're really struggling over there, and I do feel bad for the kids. So we'll keep you updated on whatever developments happen there. But right now there will be no effort by the Democrats to reach out to the other side. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We'll play the audio. This is from Zohran Mamdani. He sat down with Fox News yesterday, and he says that New Yorkers should expect to give up over half of their paychecks to pay for his radical agenda. Take a listen to Cut 4.
So a lot of individuals in this city pay more than 50% of their income in taxes. When you talk about a fair share, how much more than, what is the fair share? What's the number?
I've said that we should increase personal income taxes by
2%. Is fair.
And my point is this.
Give up more than half of your income.
If you're making $1 million in New York City, or more than that, you can afford to pay 2% more. And the reasons you can afford to do so is because that money will be used to better your quality of life as well.
Yep.
Because when I speak to the wealthiest New Yorkers, I hear concerns about the cleanliness of the city, the quality of life in the city, questions of public safety. This money is the money that will be used to deliver on those things so that we can ensure that we have a return on investment for all of the money that we are raising and spending right here across the five boroughs.
Yeah. So, oh, by the way, this guy also doubled down. And not only is he saying that, you know, if you're a millionaire, you have to pay over 50% now of your check to the government. But now you've got Mamdani saying that if Benjamin Netanyahu does indeed step foot on American soil in New York City, that he will personally see to it that Benjamin Netanyahu is arrested and charged with war crimes. This is insanity. But honestly, barring some sort of a miracle, this guy is going to become the next mayor of the Big Apple. And again, elections do have consequences. Ladies and gentlemen, elections have consequences. All right, a lot more coming your way in the next little while. We've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Also, head over to our website, toddstearns.com. Lots of great information for you there. Hang tight, everybody. We'll be right back.
Still managing your rental business like a side hustle? Stop risking your cash flow. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to streamline their rental operations for free. From finding tenants you trust to collecting rent on time, we've got you covered at TurboTenant.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us, that's right, I love this American ride.
All right, hello everybody, welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show, and we're going to get to your calls in just a minute. I've got to share this with you. From the great state of Oklahoma, the story from the Christian Post, and I am shocked here, but maybe you good listeners in Oklahoma can help me out here on what's going on. The state of Oklahoma, the Department of Education, now they've had a change over there. Our good buddy Ryan Walters resigned, and now they've got a brand new person in charge, Lindell Fields, a fellow Republican who apparently has a problem with the Bible. Because the new state superintendent of public instruction in Oklahoma has dropped a mandate that required Bibles to be in public school classrooms. Fields explained in a statement quoted by NPR that he wasn't going to continue fighting a lawsuit against the mandate, and he has no plans to distribute Bibles or a biblical character education curriculum in classrooms. Now, my question is, why? Why not? What's wrong with having a Bible in a public school classroom? What's wrong with teaching children that the best way to live their life is through the Holy Bible and to build character by teaching the Bible? Fields telling NPR, if resources are left to be allocated, the timing is fortunate, says the team and I are currently reviewing the budget, noting the Bible in the classroom's mandate would cost $3 million to be implemented. I don't know about you, but that would be money well spent. Walters is not very happy about this. He's now serving as the head of an advocacy group called Teacher Freedom Alliance, and he denounced the Republicans' decision, saying, quote, I could not be more disappointed in the decision to move away from empowering our teachers in Oklahoma to use a foundational document like the Bible in the classroom. The war on Christianity is real. Walters pursued multiple efforts to promote Christianity and the Bible in public education, including having Bibles in the classrooms. And it seems to me, let me just ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, I mean no disrespect at all, but hear me on this. Were kids better off when we had the Bible in the classroom, when we had prayer in the classroom? Or were they better off when we had the gay pride flag flying in the classroom? I'm just curious. Mr. Walters goes on to say that obviously, the kids need to have a full understanding of American history, and that includes the most read book in American history, the most purchased book in American history. That would be the Holy Bible. Mr. Walters goes on to say, we're not going to allow left-wing extremists and the teachers' union to keep Bibles from schools in its historical context, so we're very proud to be the first state to put the Bible back into the classrooms. Well, now that's all been undone, not by the teachers' unions, not by the Democrats, but by the Republican Party in the state of Oklahoma, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm just curious here, do you have a problem with this plan that would have put Bibles in the classroom and that would have taught kids about the importance of the Bible when it came to the founding of our great nation? Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Much of the blowback here, and Oklahoma is a rock-solid red state, so most of the objections are coming from Republicans. I mean, I had no idea. I guess there are some godless heathen Republicans in the state of Oklahoma. In March, the Senate Appropriations Committee, the Education Appropriations Committee, rejected Walter's request to allocate $3 million for the Bibles. In response to that, he announced he was partnering with our good buddy Lee Greenwood to get donations from elsewhere, and they got those donations. And then, of course, Walters resigned last month. I don't know, folks. It's just really sad when Republicans are the ones that have declared war on Christianity. Unbelievable. So, just curious here, do you believe that teaching kids about the Bible, teaching kids about right from wrong, and about the Ten Commandments, do you believe that that will help or hurt the nation's public schools? 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. And let's go to the phone lines. Gary in Daytona Beach wants to weigh in on this New York City mayor's race. Gary, what you got for us, my friend?
Well, hopefully I'll make you chuckle, but also it's a pretty serious situation. Martha McCallum did do a great job. She pressed him as much as she could. The takeaways I got, and I watched it three times, recorded it and watched it, is when she confronted him about the crime and that there's a tremendous problem with the mentally ill and drug addicted and causing multiple crimes each person. His answer was, well, you know, the person that was arrested 10 times that ended up killing a person, if I was the mayor, if the first time he was in trouble with the law and did a criminal act, we would diagnose and see if he had mental problems. And that would be our first interaction to show him some caring and try to get him in a program. And she said, well, what about the fifth and sixth time? Well, we would see if he'd be open to voluntary incarceration at a facility. And, you know, Martha should have pushed back. The majority of people with the drugs or the mental illness, they don't voluntarily commit themselves for a program. That was my one takeaway. The other was he has no problem with Letitia James or Alvin Bragg, and he refuses to call Hamas a terrorist organization and denounce them. And I'm afraid that after the election, we're going to have to go back and look what Ed Koch said to David Dinkins when he lost and say the people have spoken and they deserve to be punished.
Well, that's right. I forgot about that, but you're absolutely right. You got to love Koch. He just told it like it was. You know, Gary, the problem here is that I don't see the Republicans, and I know there's some reporting out today that Curtis Sliwa, he's really doing better than the polls say he is. Gary, it would take an act of God for Curtis Lewa to win that election. I don't think the polls are inaccurate at all. I think that, you know, barring somebody else jumping into the race, it's Mandami's.
It is Mandami. Thanks for your time, Todd.
Hey, Gary, thank you. Appreciate you calling in. And you're right. They're going to get what they deserve. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Bray, listening to us on WSIC. What's on your mind?
Yeah, you was talking about, is it better for the Bible to be in school or the gay flag? Well, absolutely the Bible.
Well, you know, it's, yeah, I mean, I would agree with that. I mean, when you look back, Bray, and I don't, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking? Are you an old-timer?
I'm an old-timer.
All right, you're an old, so you remember back in the day, we didn't have all this, the school shootings. We didn't have all of the back talk to the teachers. And those teachers and those principals ruled with an iron fist and a mighty big paddle.
Amen. They surely did.
And I think we all sort of turned out okay.
We did. And that's what's wrong with the children today. It didn't kill us to get paddled. Why is it going to kill them to get paddled?
Well, that's true. And it's a great point. And unfortunately, you've got a lot of parents that they're not doing their job. And they're dumping off their offspring and letting the schools deal with it. And the poor schools, I feel so bad for teachers. You know, Bray, the more I see stories about these, what's happening in these classrooms and the teachers, and they can't even do their job because of the hellions in the seats. It's just unacceptable. And again, that's why I ask, why in the world would Oklahoma think that we don't need the Bible in the classroom? And why would a Republican think that we don't need the Bible in the classroom? Bray, thank you for the call. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Want to bring to your attention this wonderful opportunity and offer from our friends at Newsmax. There's a brand new book written by our friend Pastor Lucas Miles. Lucas heads up the faith division of Turning Point USA. And this new book called Pagan Threat, Charlie Kirk wrote the foreword to the book. To our understanding, it is the very last thing he wrote before he was assassinated. And Charlie wrote in the book that this is the plan to stop the wokeness infecting America. So it's doing incredibly well. Lots of people reading the book. And now you can get it free. That's right. Newsmax has a special offer. You're going to save $30. Got to go online to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com. Millions of people now watching Newsmax on all the major cable systems. By the way, tonight, 8 o'clock, I'll be filling in for Greg Kelly this evening. But millions are also downloading the Newsmax app. They're getting Pagan Threat to see Charlie's final words. Go to paganthreat.com. That's paganthreat.com.
Still managing your rental business like a side hustle? Stop risking your cash flow. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to streamline their rental operations for free. From finding tenants you trust to collecting rent on time, we've got you covered at TurboTenant.com.
All right, let's go to the phones here. Memphis, Tennessee, Bob, listening to us on KWAM. Are we better off with Bibles in the classroom or gay pride flags? Bob, what say you?
That's what I'm saying, Todd. If the patriots and conservatives don't speak up, pretty soon we're going to have not only gay pride, you know, flags and queer and drag queens as they were pushing woke agendas, but also we'll have Quran and teaching Sharia laws to our children, as it has been done in many schools in America, Minnesota, Michigan, etc. So we Christians, conservatives, patriot Americans who love the country, we better speak up, stand up, and show up. Otherwise, you know, this is coming on the horizon.
Yeah, Bob, I mean, do you think that, you know, when you look at the problems facing America's public education system right now, do you believe that at least part of that is because we've lost our way, that we've lost our moral footing here?
Absolutely, absolutely. Try to do that in any other country, in Islamic countries or Buddhist countries or Hindu countries, to say, hey, you can have your Gita or Quran in your school. See what happens. Only America, we have this freedom, and that freedom has put us in general to sleep, to say all is well. That is devil's technique to put us to sleep, to say, everything is okay. Don't worry about it. We are all good. And churches and Christians really have taken the easy road. We are into, I'm not going to get into much detail, but you know, we have taken the easy road out. We have chosen to stand on the sidelines and let somebody do the job, but there is no somebody out there besides Church of Jesus Christ, you know, and the light that we're supposed to have. You know, nobody else is going to shine the light of righteousness, you know, and the Church of Jesus Christ has to, it's on us to speak up and speak out.
Well, if we're not careful, we're going to wake up one day and we're all going to be Dearborn, Michigan.
And then people are wondering, I literally hear people saying, how did we get here? That's exactly how we got here, because we keep asking the questions, how we got here. But when time comes, you know, nobody is there to call the congressmen, senators, or, you know, get involved in elections and hold people accountable. That is the accountability. And so yeah, they do what they want to do, and we have given them the reins to do what they want to do.
Well, Bob, we're going to leave it there. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Milwaukee, Wisconsin, Jerry the Liberal. And Jerry, I suspect you are on the other side of this one.
You suspect right. I don't think the Bible should be taught in school. I don't think my opinion of the Bible should be necessarily taught in school. I have a very negative opinion of the Bible, but I don't think we should teach about the slavery in the Bible or about the genocide and the killing of people in the so-called Noah's flood. I think the government should be neutral, and we could teach about it, but we shouldn't teach it's true. And I don't think it's a moral book at all. I think it's a very immoral book, but I don't think we should teach the Quran either. I think that's a moral book. I would promote more humanist, you know, enlightenment values that our country is founded on.
Well, help me understand this, Jerry, because, you know, the country was indeed founded on Judeo-Christian teachings. I mean,
it was.
I mean, there's really
it was founded upon the Enlightenment. The founders were Enlightenment. They opposed the Bible in some ways.
The pilgrims didn't come over here. The pilgrims didn't come over here for enlightenment, my friend.
No, not the pilgrims. The actual founders. The pilgrims were 150 years before.
But the founding fathers, though, when you read their writings, Jerry,
Madison wasn't a Christian.
When you read the founders, and again, when you read their documents and their letters and their writings, it is very clear that when they put together all of our founding documents, they were doing so based on the teachings of the Holy Bible. I'm just curious, though, do you have a problem with the Ten Commandments?
Yeah, I do. I don't think the government.
Which one?
I don't think the government should be telling children not to covet their neighbor's ass, which is or their neighbor's wife. I don't think the government should be telling people not to, like, pick up sticks or not to work on a Saturday. I don't think any of those are the business of the government. There's only four of the Ten Commandments that have anything to do with morality. Six of them more have to do with the ego of this supposed God.
You know, did you honor your father and mother? Do you have a problem with that one, Jerry?
See, you pick out all that once, but if your mother and father are horrible people,
you still have to honor them. They're your parents.
But do you want the government to say that you should honor a God? You think that's the business of the government?
No, that is not what the government is saying here. They're saying that we're teaching, we have a common moral code, and we got that from the Old and the New Testament, Jerry. Judeo-Christian teachings and precepts. That's where all of this came from. And I mean, you go into the Supreme Court, and you're going to see, I believe, is it two or three references to Moses and the Ten Commandments in the Supreme Court building. So if we're going to be able to do it there, why can't we teach children that, you know what, these were the precepts and teachings that we gleaned from the Bible that were important to the founding of our nation?
Because, you're cherry-picking the good parts of the Bible, but loving other people or not committing murder, those don't require the Bible. Those require empathy and concern of other people, which is the naturally evolved thing.
But Jerry, the whole point is, yeah, there were some horrible things, horrible atrocities recorded in the Bible, and then dealing with the aftermath of that and the consequences of actions and the redemption. Those are stories that are in the Holy Scriptures. So yeah, I'm not surprised that you feel this way, But the reality is, in the 1960s, when the Supreme Court started dismantling, you know, all of the Christian influence into our public education system, can you really say that our education system is better off today than it was before they started removing God out of the classroom?
I know it's better that children aren't forced to pray or aren't children forced to perform Christmas.
Really?
You know, yeah, well, they were forced to pray at one time. Why was the government forcing children to pray according to your religion, basically, Todd?
They're not being forced to pray. You can bow your head for a moment of silence, but they were reading from the Bible. And back when that was happening, you did not have the atrocities that were being committed on public school campuses. Jerry, I got to run. We're late for a break. Good to hear from you. I should have. What? He brought up coveting his neighbor's ass pretty quickly. Not thou shalt not kill, you know. Maybe as a good-looking neighbor. I don't know. 901-260-5926. We'll be right back, America.
Still managing your rental business like a side hustle? Stop risking your cash flow. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to streamline their rental operations for free. From finding tenants you trust to collecting rent on time, we've got you covered at TurboTenant.com.
And welcome back to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good buddy, Luke Cymbal, a Republican strategist. Luke, here we are, and we're well into our third week of the shutdown, and the Democrats are simply not budging here, and they really are hell-bent on putting the well-being of illegals ahead of law-abiding American citizens. What say you?
What I say is that Chuck Schumer is obviously just terrified of the radical left wing of the Democrat Party that is growing, and is not only growing, but I think it's growing more radical in their rhetoric. And clearly he's terrified of a primary from AOC. But look, the fact that Democrats are promoting illegal alien health care above just getting the government back on track is mind-boggling to me. It is yet another example of Democrats being on the wrong side of an 80-20 issue, and they are losing the narrative. And so I think it's going to be very interesting to see what happens after this weekend when they hold their little No Kings protest with all the weathered, purple-haired hippies and their various multicolored flags for the many different causes and no consistent messaging. Once they hold that rally, we'll see what happens next week and if they decide to return to sanity. But I really think the American people are seeing through this. The vast majority of people simply care about the price of eggs and milk and the price of gas and safety in their communities and what their kids' education is like and what their kids, you know, the parks are like across the street. They really are appalled, I think, by the behavior of the Democrats here advocating for illegal alien health care over the of American interest.
You know, there is going to come a point when more people are going to have to lose their jobs, you know, because we're out of money. And there's really not much the president can do there. Does that blow back on the Republicans, or do you think the American people really understand the play here and what's going on with the Dems?
Look, I don't think the American people are dumb. I think they see what's going on. And I think, you know, the messaging out of the White House the past couple of months has just been excellent. It was a little bit rocky at the very beginning of the year. And they, you know, the Republicans have their feet under them now. And our messaging is spot on. And so I think what the Trump administration should do is start looking at these non-essential federal employees who are currently furloughed and start deciding, okay, who is really necessary and who is not? When Elon Musk bought then Twitter and now X, he fired something like 90% of the workforce and Twitter became more efficient. It'll be interesting to see whether or not the Republicans can market this and say, look, we're going to start looking at some of these agencies, USAID or these other agencies or radicals had really infiltrated, and they're not coming into work, and they're pushing around numbers on an Excel sheet, and they don't actually do a whole lot. I think you start firing and laying off those people first, because we don't have the money, and then we'll see what happens. But again, I think the American people know what's going on. They see right through the Democrats' antics, and so after they hold their little No Kings rallies across the country, I think they'll be crawling back to the negotiating table to vote for this clean bill.
You know, last night News Nation had a pretty fascinating town hall. It was sort of like a who's who of folks up there, O'Reilly, Stephen A. Smith, and they also Andrew Colvett, who's the spokesman for Turning Point USA. And he was going at it with a guy named Mockler, Adam Mockler, who is a leftist, a liberal. And I want to play some audio from this and get your take on it. Cut number three, please.
But if you look at any polls, according to CSIS, political violence overwhelmingly comes from the right. These mass shootings come from the right. And when it comes to the leaked text messages that came out 24 hours ago, I don't think it's fair to say there's an undercurrent just on the left. I know what you mean, but there's also an undercurrent on the right. There is something deep and dark boiling inside the GOP.
The study you just cited didn't include things like, you know, the Tesla attacks that were against Elon Musk and Tesla.
The study shows lethal deaths, lethal violence. Lethal violence comes disproportionately from the right. The Tesla attacks were not lethal. We can point to the Buffalo shooting, the El Paso supermarket.
I let you talk.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Wow. All right. So there's a whole bunch.
You tried
there
to debunk my study, so.
Is it your study? Did you do it?
I did not do it. But keep
what is your what is your point, sir?
My point is that time and time again, whether it's the Erin Burnett on CNN, God bless her, she tried to quote the same study. They didn't include a lot of what we would consider left wing violence in that study. Okay, first of all, second of all, my dear friend was just killed by left wing violence, assassinated in cold blood. There has been how many ICE facilities that have been targeted? And when you look at what's happening right now, I agree with you on the radicalization, but you have to be honest about the fact that you even admitted, well, this year it's progressives. Well,
I was honest.
What about George Floyd? What about that whole summer of looting and rioting? Listen, there has been a trend of, I think, let's be gracious and say, in the era of Trump, maybe it's a reaction to Trump. I'm open to those discussions. But there is a justification for political violence. It shows up in every poll, and it's coming from progressives.
So, Luke, that was a huge issue last night. Of course, tonight in Virginia, the Attorney General debate. And Jay Jones making national headlines by, you know, wanting to put bullets in the head of his Republican opponents. How big is this?
It is a massive issue. And we saw it even after the assassination of Charlie Kirk, the left wing nasty comments on Blue Sky and other social media outlets celebrating his death, encouraging violence against conservatives. You know, the polling that shows on campus that left-wing, a quarter of those who identify as left of center say that it is justified to use violence to stop speech for which you think is hateful. It's unacceptable. And Andrew is exactly right. That so-called study that's been reported, of course, by the mainstream media outlets did not include left-wing violence perpetrated during the BLM riots, where our cities were literally, neighborhoods were burnt to the ground, billions of dollars in property damage. It did not include other left-wing protests across the country, and it was totally just an attempt to correct the narrative, because the left knows that they have a problem and they don't want to admit it. Just walk across any college campus with a MAGA hat and see who is angry and who is yelling and who is throwing things at you. It's very clear that the left has a problem, and I really appreciate this Trump administration. For the first time in my lifetime, we have an administration calling it what it is. The left has a violence problem. We saw it in the bullet casings in various assassination attempts, and then unfortunately the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We are seeing it across the country, and so we have to call it out. I appreciate Andrew being willing to go on News Nation and call it out, and I appreciate this administration for calling it out.
All right, Luke Symbol joining us on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. Luke, we appreciate that. We're going to be watching the debate tonight. That's going to be a doozy, and we appreciate your great work.
All right, thank you, Todd. Talk to you soon.
All right, there you go, Luke Symbol. By the way, this is interesting. Andy Ogles, who is one of the House Freedom Caucus guys from the Nashville area, not doing well in the fundraising department. He's now facing a huge Republican opponent in the primary there for Congress, Tennessee's Ag Commissioner Charlie Hatch, and launching an effort to unseat Ogles, who has been a huge, huge fan of President Trump and a loyal vote for President Trump as well. So we'll see how all that plays out, but not looking good there for Congressman Ogles right now. Real quick, before we go to the break here, let's go to the phones. Jerry in Iowa, listening to us on KXEL. Hi, Jerry. What's on your mind today?
Brother Todd, I am calling to thank you for encouraging this here listener to put my money where my mouth is. So I'm doing two things to that end. One, I did switch to Patriot Mobile. Now, this is not an advertisement. I'm just saying, letting you know my conscience feels good now. I'm tired of paying the woke cell phone company. It's just like a breath of fresh air. I'm so happy. And I talked to their customer support, Winters Awesome, and Carrie and Billing Question. It's a great company. When we hung up, they said, bless you. I mean, it's just, I feel like I'm not funding woke causes. And the other thing is my son and I, next week, we're going to Israel, and we're going to be tourists. And we're going to spend money, and we're going to rejoice that the Wicked Witch is dead, most of them. And I think tourism is back. We're going to eat falafels. We're going to hike the Jesus Trail, and we're going to spend money there. And I hear that the Israelis kind of love Americans, so there's that too. So I'm going to be spending money in Israel with my son, and I feel good. I'm taking my Patriot Mobile with me, and I don't feel guilty anymore. So thank you. And the promo code works, by the way.
Good. Well, I hope it works. Let me ask you this, Jerry. Yeah. So did you talk to physical human beings there, literal human beings in customer service?
It was so wonderful.
And they spoke English, didn't they?
Mother, and we prayed on the phone. I know that's...
Wow.
And they were nice. They were wonderful. The real human beings. We're going to add more lines. I'll just do that online. But I got a real sense for the company, what they're like. And they're supporting real conservative causes. They don't hate Christians' guts. And I thank you for, you know, encouraging this listener to put my money where my mouth is. You know, you can be a political activist or not, but where are you spending your money? So I feel good about it. So thanks, buddy.
I am so glad you did that, Jerry, and they're just fine, fine people. And again, it's important to know this is a company that, you know, they take their profits and they're supporting organizations and missions and ministries that are advancing the kingdom work. And I greatly appreciate that. Jerry, safe travels to you as you head over to Israel. You're going to have a wonderful time. It is going to be a life-changing moment. Is this your first time going over?
We're going to walk where Jesus walked.
Wow.
We're going to tell the Israelis we love them. And it's so exciting. We're gonna spend money and have a glorious time. We're gonna hike the Jesus Trail, and it's just that's gonna be money well spent.
Well,
I think tourism's coming back. We got the American fleet offshore. You know, Iran has been punished. I mean, I'm feeling good about it.
Good, good. All right, Jerry, man, thanks for calling in and thanks for saying those kind things about Patriot Mobile. They really are America's only Christian and conservative wireless carrier. And a lot of people have questions, and they're like, great, we get that, but what about coverage? Yep, they use all three major U.S. networks. That means if you have service in the country today, you're going to have it as good or better with Patriot Mobile. And by the way, there's really no hassle to switch, and you heard Jerry testify there about customer service. They speak English, and they're based here in America. You can keep your number, you can keep your phone, or you can upgrade. It's entirely up to you. And they will activate you in just a matter of minutes from the comfort of your home. And that's how we do it. Go to PatriotMobile.com/Todd or do what Jerry did and call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Jerry mentioned my promo code. It's Todd. And if you mention my promo code, they're going to give you a free month of service right out of the gate. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Give them a call, 972-PATRIOT, and be sure to use that promo code Todd.
Tired of giving away all your rental profits to a property manager? You don't have to. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to find and manage tenants. Keep your 10% and sign up for free at TurboTenant.com.
Wow, we're getting a lot of feedback. People were just so excited to hear from Miss Delicia Bollinger, who is the lady who lost her job, got fired because she thanked President Trump for sending the National Guard to town. Unbelievable. We're working to get Delicia on Newsmax tonight. I'll be filling in for Greg Kelly this evening. And so hopefully you'll be able to watch that interview tonight on Newsmax. You'll also be able to download it. We'll have it on the podcast after the show. And I would encourage you, if you missed any of the interview, it was about a 40-minute interview, go back and download the podcast, and you'll be able to listen to that great conversation. I feel like we should give something away right now, guys. I'm in the giving away mood. So here's the deal. We've got a big election coming up in Virginia, the Commonwealth. And the run for governor is pretty contentious as well. The Republican nominee is also the lieutenant governor, the current lieutenant governor. Can you tell us the lieutenant governor? Who is the lieutenant governor of the Commonwealth of Virginia? If you know the answer, give us a call, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. The current lieutenant governor of the great Commonwealth of Virginia. All right, we'll be taking your calls momentarily on that. I want to play some audio here. There was a story that we first brought to you. Gosh, how long ago was this? It was a couple of weeks ago. And we're gonna play some audio in the next hour of the show. But this is all happening at in North Georgia, and a lot of our listeners in that area are familiar with this university that is causing a lot of controversy. And the controversy surrounds materials and a textbook that portrays white people as being racist. I mean, it's really, really unfortunate what's going on there. But the reality is that at a lot of universities around the country, students are dealing with this sort of nonsense. Fox News Channel interviewed the student at the University of North Georgia, and the headline, Christian Student Exposes Pricey College Textbook, Calling Her a White Supremacist. And this young lady sat down with our friends over at Fox News for a long-form interview, and we're going to bring you a portion of that interview when we come back from break. But I'm curious to, especially our Georgia listeners, I'm very curious whether or not you've got a problem with the fact that your tax dollars are being used to fund this sort of nonsense at the University of North Georgia, which, my understanding, was a pretty good school up until, I would say, the turn of the century. So I'm curious what is going on at the University of North Georgia. When we first brought that story to you, our phones lit up with people, including parents and students, saying, you know what, Todd, it's even worse than that. That's how bad it is. And I'm sorry, but that's the reality of it. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Carolyn in North Carolina. Hi, Carolyn. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine, Todd. Winston Sears is the lieutenant governor of Virginia.
Wait, Carolyn, you stole my thunder.
Smart.
Carolyn,
smart.
You stole my thunder, though. I had to, you know, we have a routine here, Carolyn. I've got to ask the question, and then you can answer. You jumped the gun. All right.
Oh, I know. I'm excited for her.
All right. Well, Carolyn, let's back this up, and I'm going to ask the question. Who's the lieutenant governor of Virginia, Carolyn?
Winston Sears.
Yes, that's right, Carolyn. well done, Carolyn. You are the winner, and you're a smart cookie.
I watched her interview, and she's a very smart woman.
Oh, she is. No doubt about that. And she's going to make a great governor as well. Hey, Carolyn, hang tight. Don't go anywhere. We're going to send you a little prize. Thanks for playing trivia today. All right, coming up, we're going to bring you the very latest on that story out of the University of North Georgia. Students there under fire. Unbelievable. Hang tight, everybody.
Tired of giving away all your rental profits to a property manager? You don't have to. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to find and manage tenants. Keep your 10% and sign up for free at TurboTenant.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Yeah. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of the Big Show. Good to have you with us today. So I want to jump right into this crazy story from the University of North Georgia. We have just thousands and thousands of listeners up in that area in Dahlonega, which is the town where the university is located. And there's been a lot of controversy over what many are saying the wokeness that has infested this once great school, this institution of higher learning. So a young lady was on Fox News Channel, and they sat down, did an interview with this young lady because it turns out she discovered her textbook were labeling Christians like herself as a white supremacist group. Let's take a listen to that interview.
So about a month ago, I came across a sentence in my textbook, and it read identities, describing identities. And one identity that it pointed out was Christianity. And in parentheses, the book reiterated that Christianity is a U.S.-based white supremacist group, which I was mind blown because the textbook did not describe any other identities besides Christianity. I had opened my textbook to read chapter 8, which was titled Contested Identities, Shifting Publics in a Globalized World. The way it was worded, it listed several marginalized groups, but then only called Christians to be white supremacists. But the scariest thing is that the book was written in 2007. Therefore, this has been shared for almost 20 years, and it was never questioned. I think American academia needs a definite reevaluation, especially in our textbooks, as we can see from my prime example. The books hide underlying propaganda, in my opinion. It seems as if they are innocent, but in reality, they know what they're doing and trying to push on their students. I love this story because I love Jesus, so I'm happy to tell this. But my grandfather is a Baptist preacher in North Carolina. He is a wonderful man, and he raised me in my Christian faith, and I was told to never back down. In March, I actually got baptized, proclaimed my faith loudly in front of everybody. So that's why it hurt more, because I'm proud of my faith, and I don't want people who don't know who Jesus is or who don't know what Christianity is to take this and run with this and see Christians as a U.S.-based white supremacist group. Because not only that, Christianity didn't come from the United States.
Well, it's true. And what a great word of testimony. I think the sad thing for me is that we're having to deal with this in, of all places, the Deep South. And that's really a shame. Well, I want to go to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Alan in Gainesville, listening to us on WDUN. And Alan, I understand your wife works in the town where the college is located.
Yes, sir. She is a dental hygienist, and it's kind of a dental office is much like a barbershop, beauty shop, whatever you want to call it, and where you hear everything going on in the town. And she has come in many nights and said, you can't believe what, you know, talking about the different professors that come into the business there, and they, especially during the campaign. And she'd always say, they'd start off with, can you believe what that Trump has done or is saying now or something? And so she's always sharing with me, but she has to bite her tongue because she doesn't want to run off business. It wouldn't be good for her employment. But she says it just seems like they're hiring nothing but liberal wackos these days. You know, she said you wouldn't suspect it of a lot of them, but then they come out with it, and she's just amazed that, you know, as conservative as our area is, they've brought in these liberal professors to indoctrinate our youth. And it's just a shame. I mean, I know it's spiritual warfare these days.
Alan, so again, this is, and we have to really stress, this is a very conservative area of the state of Georgia here. And I think that's what's really shocking to a lot of people is that this school was such an important part of the community, you know, but there's such a stark difference now between the school and the people, you know, that live in the area.
Yes, absolutely. It's actually a military school also. So you would just not think that that would be going on there, but it is.
Well, I appreciate this young lady. Her name is Kelby Murphy, and she's a senior at the University of North Georgia. And again, she was forced to purchase this textbook that labeled Christianity as a, quote, U.S.-based white supremacist group. You know, my concern, Alan, is what happens, you know, down the road when you've got all these kids that have been going through the University of North Georgia, and now they think that what's happening down at the local First Baptist Church is akin to a KKK meeting.
Exactly. I've been a proponent of religious freedom and everything that's going on. That, you know, it's just I've seen it. I was born in '61, so I've seen the change, you know, over the years, taking God out of our schools, God out of our culture. It's a crime, you know. And all I like to say is I pray daily for our country and that. That for the revival. I'm so thankful for Charlie Kirk and what he did. It's just,
Just, well, Alan, your blinker's on, my friend. I don't know if anybody told you that, but, you know.
Sorry about that, sir.
No. I just wanted to make sure. You don't want to be that guy that's driving down the road, right, and your blinker's on. So that's me sometimes.
No. I have a job that I'm able to listen to you every day, all day long.
I like that kind of job.
So, yes, I'm actually, you know, grateful for the opportunity to hear you every day. So,
well,
keep up the good work.
Alan, God bless you. Please tell your wife I said hello and tell her to hang in there. Hang in there.
Right.
So, yeah. Oh, my goodness. Wow. By the way, we're going to be making some big announcements coming soon. We're adding a lot of radio stations to our lineup. So we're going to be hearing from new listeners and friends from all over the country in the coming week. So we look forward to being able to break that big news for you coming up here on the Todd Stern Show. All right, let's go to Angie in Georgia listening to us on WDUN. Hey, Angie, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, I just want to make a comment about this, the University of North Georgia.
Well, first of all, whoa. Angie, it has been far too long, young lady.
Yes, it has been far too long, Todd.
You used to get me riled up. I haven't been riled up lately, so rile me up, Angie.
We're gonna rile you up, Todd. We're still on the truck train. We're not done with that yet. But anyway, my son went to the University of North Georgia in Dahlonega for 9 years, and he went through the same book, same thing. And I was telling the lady that answered the phone, we don't have hardly any native Georgians left unless they are old-timers or old people like me. I'm the same age. I'm 58. But they're moving. We have seen more California and New York tags. This industry in the state of Georgia with real estate, people putting their Bibles away, they're trying to turn us into a democratic state. That's what they're trying to do. And when my son went to this school, he saw the same textbook but didn't speak up because he was afraid to. That's what they're teaching these kids in the universities now. Don't speak up.
That's just that is so disgusting, Angie, that they're teaching the kids that kind of stuff.
Yep. 9 years my kid went to that college to become a high school teacher, and he's $72,000 still in debt, and it was going to cost him another $100,000+ to become certified.
So you said nine years it took him.
He took the
scenic route.
Well, he stayed in it because he loves school.
Good for him.
He's one of those that loves school. So now he's opened up his own organic vegetable farm and sells it at farmers markets and things like that. And he's just turned away. He's teaching our grandkids. They're homeschooling our grandkids. They're not going to public school in the state.
Good for them. Wow. I had no idea. You know, it is interesting, though. That's become an issue. Like, for example, in North Carolina, most people in North Carolina no longer have a Southern accent. It's almost gone.
There's nobody here left. You ought to see it. There is nothing but California and New York tags in this state.
Wow.
We couldn't believe it. There's four subdivisions in Gainesville, Georgia, and all of them don't belong here. Nobody, they're rude. It's just, and I don't want to talk bad about people, but don't come try to change my state. You go and take care of your state.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm with you on that, Angie. We're pretty hospitable people, but don't be changing the way we live our lives down here in Dixie.
No, and that Jerry guy that was on the show earlier, and you were going with him about Jesus.
Oh, Jerry the liberal.
Jerry the liberal. That's all these New Yorkers. We ran into one at Walmart the other day, and I had my "I love Jesus" or "Jesus is my Savior" shirt, and she said, "You know that's just wrong. You know that's just wrong." And I'm like, lady, you don't even have a Southern accent. What are you doing here?
and if you're not careful, lady, you may meet him real quick.
That's correct. It's like you need to find – it's just like that, you know, I was going to tell that Jerry dude, you know, you didn't lose Jesus because you never found him, and probably because you went to college listening to all these textbooks.
Oh, sweet mercy. You know what it was, Angie? I knew things were going. Where was I? I was somewhere in Georgia several years back, and it was either a Cracker Barrel or a Waffle House, and I asked for some iced tea. And usually in the South, the default setting for iced tea is sweet. Angie, I'll be doggone if they brought me unsweet tea. I thought, Lord, there goes the South.
There goes the South, and you're absolutely right. You know, Chick-fil-A's down here don't even serve sweet tea.
All right, now, come on now. Come on.
Nope, not kidding. We're in Dawsonville right now. We stopped at Chick-fil-A's yesterday because my husband's going through some stuff. We wanted a sweet tea, and Chick-fil-A does not sell sweet tea in Dawsonville, Georgia.
Lord, I think Jesus is coming back very soon. I think this is a sign.
He's already here. I'm just waiting on him to show up. That's all I'm doing.
All right, Angie. So
everybody pray for everybody. Prayer is the thing. Jesus hears us. And all these people have got to get out of my state. They got to go. They need to go with Latita James and all them people up there. That's
Jesus says you got to love them, but you don't have to like them. So.
No, Jesus says we're born to love, and as long as we forgive, we're good, right, Todd? As long as we forgive,
yeah, more or less.
Don't have to like it,
sort of.
And I don't have to be around these people.
So, all right, Angie, it's good hearing your voice. You made my day. Oh my goodness, thank you for that. Let's go to Seth in Cornelia, Georgia. Hi, Seth. What's going on?
Hey, Mr. Todd, how are you doing?
Well, I'm doing pretty good, but I'm sort of flummoxed here by what's happening at the University of North Georgia.
It is. I was telling your call screener, Todd, I am 49 years old, and I had 2 years ago, I decided to go back to school to get my bachelor's degree. And I actually thought about the University of North Georgia, but then after my wife and I talked, we decided that these public funded universities and schools they're just going woke, and we just decided against it. So I looked for a Christian university, and I enrolled with Grand Canyon University out in Arizona, and I'm doing everything online. And of course there's Liberty up in Virginia, but these public funded universities are just, they're going woke.
Well, let me ask you this, because Grand Canyon is a great school, so you still know your preferred pronouns. Is that right, Seth?
Absolutely.
All right, good, good, good. So, and you still love America and Jesus.
Absolutely.
Which, again, is another reason why you need to really strongly consider where you're sending your kids to college. And again, if you're going back to school, I think it's important for everybody to understand the lay of the land, because clearly even a place like the University of North Georgia, Seth, you know, things go woke. My friend, I got to take a break here. They're hollering at me. Seth, thank you for the call. Good luck to your bachelor's degree. That's exciting. Good for you, sir. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Still managing your rental business like a side hustle? Stop risking your cash flow. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to streamline their rental operations for free. From finding tenants you trust to collecting rent on time, we've got you covered at TurboTenant.com.
All right, this story out of Hanover Park, Illinois. ICE has just arrested an active-duty police officer. It turns out Officer Radulo Bajovic overstayed his tourist visa. It expired in 2015. He's been living in America illegally for 10 years. The Democrats in Illinois are literally arming illegals and giving them the power to arrest us. Jeez, Alou. We've got the guy's photo and a little story up on our Facebook page. Go check that out. Let's go to the phone lines. Steve in New Bern, North Carolina, listening to us on The Talk Station. So, Steve, I understand you want to respond to something Angie from Georgia just said.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call, Todd. Miss Angie, bless your heart, but not all of us former New Yorkers are liberals. I'm a conservative Christian. I love sweet tea. And we moved down here to get away from the madness and get down here in the middle of sane people. So don't paint us all with that same broad brush. We're not all bad.
Wow. Steve, I'm impressed. You dropped a bless your heart on a Southern lady. Man, that takes some courage, my friend. Even I don't do that. So look, here's the deal. I don't think Angie is objecting to the fact that, just for the sake of the conversation here, I don't think she's upset that Yankees are moving south and invading the region again. I don't think that's it. I think the issue is the liberals that are coming down and they're bringing their politics with them, Steve. I think that's what she was really fired up about.
Oh, I'm sure. And we've told all our friends and relatives who are of the liberal persuasion to just please stay there.
Yeah, can I just say, as a Southerner, and I'm a son of the South here, and Dylan, you can attest to, you know, I'm born in Baptist Hospital, Memphis, Tennessee. But Steve, whenever Southerners see a large caravan of Yankees coming south, we get a little nervous. It's a little triggering, especially if one of them has a match. I'm just saying. You folks in Atlanta know what I'm talking about. All right. Well, Steve, are you enjoying your stay in the South, though? That's the most important. I mean, you're drinking the sweet tea, which is the house wine of the South, so you're doing pretty good.
We've been here 22 years and have never looked back.
Wow. Well, you've lost a little bit of your accent. I don't pick up a thick New York accent there. That's the sweet tea.
Yes, sir. That's growing up in a military family, traveling all over. The wife is a native New Yorker. But we're talking the mountains of northern New York, the Adirondack Mountains.
Probably those are normal people. Yeah, those y'all are Southerners. You're just a little northern. Okay, Steve, I got to run, my friend. But thanks for calling in. Wow, Steve dropped a bless your heart. Woo, sweet mercy. All right, we got to take a break. 901-260-5926 our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Tired of giving away all your rental profits to a property manager? You don't have to. Over 800,000 landlords use TurboTenant to find and manage tenants. Keep your 10% and sign up for free at TurboTenant.com.